welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. A good Friday night to you. We got Joe Dickhead and the Professor coming on tonight, and we're also going to bring on a couple of guests to discuss some of the issues of the day. You know, this Toronto mayor, I'm getting so sick and tired of that story, I could throw up. I mean, the guy's a bad mayor. He smoked crack. Get rid of him. Goodbye. I'm sure it's a major concern to the people of Toronto, but we got other fish to fry, so that's the end of that romance. He's a crack-smoking fat man.
Yeah, and a lot of people give him credit on that.
Give him credit?
What does that mean?
Well,
you're talking about the fact that he's overweight.
Yeah.
So you're now, Bud, you are...
Let me ask you something, Dickman.
Yes, General.
Are you saying that crack cocaine is a diet treatment that a fat man, even the fat man there in Toronto? Boy, you really, someone ought to write you a letter, and it should be addressed from some federal facility. That is unbelievable.
Well, all right, look, you're thinking of crack cocaine, Bud, strictly from the standpoint that it's some kind of an upper or speed or, you know, what have you, and so therefore you're not going to eat and you're going to lose weight.
Yeah, but don't you think, you know, with all due respect, General, don't you think that a fat guy is going to look at that?
I don't care if a fat man... If Rob Ford weighs so much that he needs some kind of a dietary supplement, well, that's all right. But you don't look for it in the alleys and in the streets and in the slums of Toronto, Canada, where you have not only the obvious criminal element, you have a disaffected Native Canadian population, and these are people who are of Native blood, Margaret.
Yes.
And there is a very good chance that that fat man's body, if he turns up scalped, you...
Okay, come on, Jen, are you joking around?
No, sir, I am not. You've got a man up there who's playing with fire.
Well, is this your big claim on Rob Ford shouldn't be smoking crack cocaine because he may score it in areas of the city where there are Native people and his fat body turns up scalped? Is that what I just heard you say?
Well, you know something, Phil? You've got a very...
Is that what I just heard you say?
You've got a very domineering personality, young man.
Yes, he does, General. You know, Phil, just let the General have his opinion.
Well, I'm trying to tone down, at least in the rancor and rhetoric of this show, some of the more obvious racial comments.
Oh, so it's racism. That's what you're telling me, huh? I've worked my entire life against that. All I'm saying is, look, I could care less what happens to Rob Ford. If they take that fat man and they turn him into a squaw, I don't care. I'm just looking out for the people...
Come on, General, let's go get a vanilla wafer.
You know what? That's a great idea. I'm going to get vanilla, and when I come back with a box of vanilla wafers, I hope things have calmed down in here.
Yeah,
you go get the vanilla wafers, sir, General.
What are you making fun of the old man for?
Hey, wait a second. What is it with everybody ganging up on me?
Well, you know, he comes from a different generation.
Well, you know, he's sitting there saying that Rob Ford is scoring crack cocaine from... First of all, that's a slander. He's scoring his crack from Indians. And secondly, I don't know.
Turning up... Would it be the worst thing in the world if they found a big fat man scalped? Never mind.
Yeah, it would be really freaky and weird and scary. Yes, all of that stuff, yes.
All right. Let me apologize on behalf of the General. He's sorry about it.
Well, all you guys are taking his side.
We're just taking the side of a man who's done an awful lot for this country, Phil. Why don't you lighten the hell up?
Well, I mean...
Yes, he's right, Mr. Henry. You got to lighten up. The General just made a comment. Let the old man have his way.
Yes, you let me have my... Thank you very much, Robbie. Let me have my way. I need a napkin because these get crumbs all over me.
Yeah, go get a napkin for you, General.
Thank you very much, Dickman.
Sorry, General.
That's all right. Just you remember something, Phil. That there was a broadcaster that was found dead with General Custer. Did you know that?
A broadcaster?
A member of the press. A member of the press, a man by the name of Mark Kellogg, died with Custer. And they found him with his pants pulled down.
Oh, they did. Now I know the story. Mark Kellogg was an Associated Press reporter. Okay, what are you looking shocked for, Margaret?
I didn't know this story.
Yeah. Mark Kellogg traveled with Custer to a great many of his campaigns. Custer, being Custer, wanted to have the press along. He wanted to have, you might say that Mark Kellogg was one of the very first embedded reporters. He was with the 7th Cavalry, and he was with them on that fateful day that they took on the Lakota, the Sioux Nation.
What do you mean, Lakota?
Well, I'm assuming that Sioux is considered a bit of a pejorative, and many Sioux refer to themselves as Lakota. But nonetheless...
That, like, North Lakota?
No, not North Lakota. North Dakota.
Well, what are you saying?
I'm going along with you. Only he wasn't a broadcaster. He was a writer.
Well, my understanding was he was a big-mouth talk show host, and Sitting Bull finally had enough, and he put a tomahawk right in his kisser.
No, General, this is in the 1870s or something.
All right, well, my understanding was that Sitting Bull listened to this motor mouth and finally had it and said, if we ever meet up with Custer, what are you looking at, Phil?
Okay, 1870, no talk show host.
I understand that. All right, Sitting Bull read the guy's column then. But Sitting Bull apparently had it in for this guy Kellogg. He didn't like his opinions. He thought he had a big mouth and someone ought to stick a tomahawk in it. Or somewhere.
Well, that is... You've got some very bizarre...
Oh, well, thank you very much. You're not anti-Indian, are you?
I most certainly am not. I will tell you, I'm an honorary member of the Monondo tribe. And I take great offense at that.
At what is the tribe? I'm sorry?
The Monondo Manahul. It's a tribe. It was a gentleman that I met out here at Morongo Casino. Okay, so you...
Yeah, well, that was probably a scam.
No, it wasn't a scam.
All right, General, I apologize for questioning your credentials, your credibility, but I'm sure you agree with me that there was no talk show host in the 1870s.
Well, what did you say this guy Kellogg did?
He was a writer. He was a newspaper writer.
Okay, well, same difference.
Well, all right.
But you're claiming that this guy Mark Kellogg pissed off Sitting Bull because he read his column.
Well, I think it's very likely that a leader of a large contingent such as Sitting Bull is going to be up on the day's news. And he's reading the newspaper, and he reads how you can well imagine he probably said, here's this Kellogg son of a bitch again, and he's got his wife scurrying out to get food and whatever, and they don't go in the tent because don't go in the teepee because Sitting Bull, he's on the ragging or whatever they say, and he says, you know, let's get the warriors together and shut this guy up. Now, I don't think that's too far out.
All right, well, the point is that Sitting Bull encountered Custer, and that was the end of that. And one of the guys that was found, as the general just indicated, Margaret, was the body of this man, Kellogg. And, yes, they were scalped, and they were, you know, the bodies. And this was something that the Native warriors did in those days when they were battling the U.S. Army. They left their calling card, probably long before we'd ever heard of such a thing. On the field of battle, there would be the Native people would leave, the Native warriors would leave their calling card, whether it was a some kind of a mark or a sign.
What about like in Apocalypse Now with a playing cards?
Yeah, like Ace of Spades?
No, I don't think they had playing cards.
They didn't have playing cards. They scalped them, they pulled their pants down. What they did was they just humiliated them, right?
I don't know. I don't think they pulled... In any event, that's what happened. That was Mark Kellogg. That's his story. He wasn't a talk show host, though, although I'm sure that Sitting Bull, you know, read his column and got pissed off. Anyway, welcome to the program. Joe Dickhead and the Professor are next, and they're going to have their NFL picks. And stick around for this, because they pick football teams and football games based upon some pretty bizarre criteria. So check it out. It's next. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back to World Famous Phil Henry Show, and it's time for the guys, Joe Dickhead and the Professor. Joe?
The Vegas Strip, not the Sunset Strip, from high on the Vegas Strip. This is Joe Dickhead and the Professor.
We do know where we are, don't we, Professor?
I should say we do know where we are. We're high atop the Las Vegas Strip with Joe Dickhead and the Professor's picks here for this week 11 in the National Football League. This week we picked the winning team by virtue of the number of vowels in the head coach's last name. Whichever head coach has more vowels in his last name, his team will win. This is Joe Dickhead and the Professor and our lock-solid, rock-solid, throbbing technique to pick winners for you. Call our special hotline and get our upset special. This week, we pick the Ravens to lose to the... No, we don't.
No, we're good. No, our upset special. See, we got to don't make the mistake of telling them what it is.
Oh, that's right. Our upset special is, I believe, New Orleans will beat New England, right? Is that who they're playing? I forget.
No, it's not New England. It's New Orleans is playing Carolina.
That's right. We think Carolina is going to beat... no, it's New England.
You guys need some more time?
What's that?
Do you need more time?
No, it's just that this jackass wrote it down wrong.
No, I did not write it down wrong. New England is going to lose to Carolina.
That's right. That's our upset special, so call it... Oh, you and...
Oh, I did it again, huh?
Yes, you did it again. Yes!
Yeah, your upset special.
I got it, Henry. Don't worry about it. Here are our picks this week of the National Football League. Atlanta versus Tampa Bay. The head coach of Atlanta is Smith. Tampa Bay is Schiano. Tampa Bay's head coach has three vowels in his last name. We pick Tampa Bay to beat Atlanta. Detroit and Pittsburgh. Schwartz with one in his last name. Tomlin has one. Tomlin has two, excuse me. And so Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers will beat the Detroit Red Wings. Detroit Red Wings. Is that it?
No, it's the Detroit Tigers.
Detroit Lions.
Oh, baby. Baby.
It's our first week back, and we're butchering it alive.
No, last week was our... And by the way, last week, folks, we went 9-4. That's right, 9-4. Count them. 9 wins, 4 losses. Count it. Go ahead. See if it don't come out the same on your little calculator. So we are picking, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers to defeat the Detroit Lions in that ball game in Pittsburgh. Coming up next, it's the Washington Redskins against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, Mike Shanahan has three vowels in his last name, and Kelly only has one, so guess what?
That's right. We picked the Redskins to beat Philadelphia in that ballgame. The Arizona Cardinals taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Is that right? Yes. Excuse me. The Arizona Cardinals and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The head coach of the Arizona Cardinals is Arians. He has two vowels in his last name. Bradley, he has two vowels in his last name. So the tiebreaker, which coach has more hair? Well, they're both bald. So we go to our third tiebreaker. Who has the thicker neck? And it's Arians. Arizona to defeat Jacksonville this weekend in NFL action.
The next game is the Oakland Raiders against the Dallas
The Houston Texans. You are, boy, you're dumb. You're just beautifully dumb.
That's right. It's the Raiders against the Texans. Allen with two vowels in his last name, but guess what? Kubiak has three. Oh.
That's right. It's the Houston Texans to defeat the Oakland Raiders. Another upset special. Call our hotline for the result.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I keep telling you.
You keep telling me. Next game, it's the Baltimore Ravens against the Chicago Bears. The Baltimore Ravens head coach, Jim Harbaugh, with three vowels. Trestman has two, and it's going to be the Ravens beating the Bears. And by the way, Trestman used to coach in the Canadian Football League. They got to be kidding with that guy anyway. The Cleveland Browns, Chizinski, with three vowels. Lewis only has two. It is the Browns over the Bengals in that one. The Chargers, McCoy with one vowel. Philbin has two. It's going to be Miami defeating the San Diego Chargers in Miami. The Packers against the New York Giants. Guess what? The Giants in an upset at home. Coughlin has three vowels in his last name. McCarthy only had one. It's the Minnesota. But go ahead, take one, will you?
I'm sorry, the Minnesota Vikings and the Seattle Sandabs.
It's the Minnesota Vikings and the Seattle Seahawks. Frazier with three vowels, Carroll with two. We think the Vikings upset Seattle in Seattle. That's what we think. And the San Francisco 49ers and the New Orleans Saints. Harbaugh with three, Peyton with two. It's going to be a win for the San Francisco 49ers in the Superdome in New Orleans.
Finally, Kansas City and Denver. Andy Reid with two vowels in his last name. Sorry, John Fox. Fox, you only have one. But guess what? It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs to continue that amazing run.
And as we said, the New England Patriots against the Carolina Panthers. Belichick with three vowels. Rivera with three. The tiebreaker, Rivera has more hair.
And so it's Carolina beating New England. Those are our picks, and we stand by them. We are 9-4 so far on the season. This is Joe Dickhead.
I'm the professor.
With our NFL picks. You really caught that.
All right, thanks, guys.
Who's that?
It's Phil Hendry.
Oh, thank you, Phil.
So there is Joe Dickhead and the professor with their NFL picks from for this weekend, week 11 in the National Football League. And I heard some that made a little bit of sense. I heard...
Well, what is this, the most vowels?
It's just a fun way of doing it. You know, everybody else doesn't try to do it all with statistics and everything.
Yeah, they're just messing around.
No, they're dead serious. See, you got to understand, Joe Dickhead and the professor, they got their asses handed to them. They're in Las Vegas. So Las Vegas is... It's like being a politician in Washington. You know, you're with the creme de la creme. You're with the hardballers, man, the heavy hitters. So you're in Vegas with all of these handicappers, all these sports specialists, all these guys that make their living doing this. And Joe Dickhead and the professor blew into that town and immediately got their ass kicked trying to pick these games.
So what did they do last week?
Last week they picked the games based upon whichever team was the most popular traditionally among Americans. They picked the opposite team, and they wound up going 9-4. So this week...
Well, this week was an asinine. I couldn't understand what they were saying.
They were the head coach with the most vowels in his last name.
Hold on for a minute, because now you've piqued my interest.
Go ahead, General.
Now, I've gone to football games my whole life. I don't think anyone in this room has been to more football games, and I've met a few of them, and I've never met a man outside of a lunatic asylum that would ever pick a football game based upon the number of vowels in a man's last name. When I was in a lunatic asylum, I met three. But outside of a lunatic asylum...
You're in a lunatic asylum?
No, but I was visiting my wife's brother-in-law in there, and it was there that I did meet.
Is this...
If you ask me if I'm joking one more time, I'm going to put my fist right...
All right, I'm sorry, General. So, in a lunatic asylum...
Yes, I met a few. I said, how do you pick the games? They said vowels, but I never met one... They said vowels, but I didn't know...
Well, what did they mean by vowels?
Well, I'm assuming that the most vowels, but they were dragged away.
They were dragged away.
Yes, I'm talking to them, and an attendant came over and dragged them off to the next to the room where I guess it's the one that Jack Nicholson went into. Is it electroshock?
Oh, good Lord!
Well, Phil, that's the way the game's played.
Yeah. Well, in any event, that's what these guys are doing.
Well, I'll tell you, say, if those two jackasses that I just heard on your radio show, the dickhead and the, what is the guy?
Joe Dickhead and the professor.
Right. If those two imbeciles pick games successfully based on the number of vowels in the last name of this of the poor slob that coaches these teams, then I'm nude, and I mean it. I'll walk into this studio, Margaret, forgive me, please, but I'll walk into this studio Monday stark naked.
You don't need to do that.
No, I believe in making a strong statement.
Well, Professor, you got a lady here.
You have a woman present. You can't do that.
All right. Well, then what do you suggest I do?
You can register your amazement on the air verbally. It's a radio show.
Well, that's not how we used to do it. When I was in the Army, we'd say, you know what, if you do this or that, my clothes come off come high noon.
Yeah, that's traditionally what they do, probably.
What do you mean, traditionally, that's how they do it?
I'm here to tell you. Would you quit contradicting me?
Well, if the general says, so when you were betting...
When we bet a guy and we said we don't think it's... And if you're right, my clothes come off high noon at the, say, the command post. Well, you laugh all you want, laughing boy.
Well, okay, whatever you say there, General. So we'll see on Monday. Although, if you want to take your clothes off, we'd like you to do it somewhere other than in the studio.
No, it's not that I want to take... What do you think I am? Some guy... So you think I want to strip and go, ooh? Is that what you think I am?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
It sounds like... So you think I want to strip down just to feel the breeze between my legs. Is that it?
Well, you got to understand something, General.
You called me professor.
No, I made a mistake. You gotta understand, there's a lady here.
We got a lady present.
Well, that's fine, and I'll respect that. But if you think that I'm going to take my clothes off and go, woo, you...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Dan, a lot of times will say that to me, too.
Well, that gives me cold comfort, Dickman, knowing that I'm in the same general vicinity of appreciation and admiration as you. Never mind.
All right. I think your opinion has been duly registered, and I think it's a very, very, very well-registered opinion. I don't know whether or not I agree with it. However, we'll see. I agree that it's a weird way of picking games.
The number of vowels.
It's a weird way of picking games. All right, we have to update you on Obamacare. Coming up next with Dr. Jim Sadler and the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
When is he going to get his mouth fixed?
Oh, Sadler's the one with the lisp.
Welcome back here this Friday night on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. A reminder, tomorrow night on Phil TV in HD, I'm going to be with our Phil TV audience, subscribers, backstage pass holders, as we have another bonus show. And on the show, we will, as I've said, you know, we've sort of taken our inspiration from Drunk History. What we do is I'll sit back with my Don Julio and talk about different historical events. It's not like Drunk History, because that is a great show with all kinds of produced stuff.
Well, what is Drunk History?
General, if you don't mind, let me just...
Well,
they get drunk and then they talk about history.
Well, no kidding, Sherlock. I've got that one figured out. You're saying, is this the show, Margaret, you showed me where the man is vomiting into a toilet and they have the actors...
Yeah, exactly. And they have the actors mouthing the words, although they don't do the vomit part.
Well, yes, I saw that. And that is supposed to get me interested in history, is that it?
Yes, it is. And it's fun, and it's funny, and you should watch it, General. Now, what I'm going to do tomorrow night, and what I have done with our bonus shows, is just we'll do a little audio-visual. We'll have on our green screen different pictures of the historic events that I'll be talking about. Now, it's no big thing, but I'll probably be getting into, because I'd read the book so many years ago, and I was so fascinated with Devil in the White City.
Oh, that's the serial murderer.
Yeah, that's bitching. He had a room where he carved the bodies up.
Oh, that's real bitching. You know something? I think all of you people, you really need... Somebody needs to get you people into counseling, medicated...
Hold on for a minute, General. This is a true story. The guy's name was H.H. Holmes. He lived in Chicago at the time of the 1893 World's Fair. He set up a hotel that he called the World's Fair Hotel.
Yes, and he lured young women in.
And you're saying he carved them a new one, what?
No, he didn't. He killed them. He had gas jets in the room, so he would kill these women with the gas, and then he'd incinerate them. He was like one of the most diabolical serial murderers in history. And this all happened in 1893 during the Chicago World's Fair. And the reason why they called the book, Eric Larson wrote his book called Devil in the White City, is the Chicago World's Fair was when it was constructed and it was open for the public to come in and enjoy. It was all in white. It was painted white. It was like this gorgeous white city right on the shores of Lake Michigan. It was one of the most successful World's Fairs ever, and it was essentially presented during a terrible recession. The panic of 1893, people were thrown out of jobs. It was a terrible... Not only was the economy bad, but it was one of the worst winters that Chicago had ever seen, and these guys are out there trying to build...
And they're trying to construct the World's Fair.
And was it snowing and everything?
Yes, it was snowing, it was sleeting, it was windy, they had a fire. Can you imagine if you're the guy, and the man who was the founding director of this was a guy named Dennis, I think his name is Dennis Burnham, and if it had been me, I would have...
Yeah, you already said if you were born black, you'd probably be in prison.
Yes, I did say that during the break. And if I was born in 1893 and they gave me the job of the World's Fair, I would have blown my brains out. Are you kidding? It would have been impossible. But they hung in, and then the crowning achievement, I'm not going to tell you about, because that I'll save for tomorrow night.
The Ferris wheel.
You must be some kind of an ass, born the spawn of hell. Phil said he was saving it for tomorrow night.
Are you an idiot or something, man?
Sorry.
If I said I'm saving it for tomorrow night...
Though it was the Ferris wheel, huh?
Well, I guess the cat's out of the bag, yeah.
Well, big deal. What's the big deal with the Ferris wheel?
The Ferris wheel, as I've said many times on this show...
Well, I didn't hear it. Sorry, Phil, I'm not married to your radio show, Boarding New Tonight.
Well, the Ferris wheel was introduced at the 1893 World's Fair because they needed something, and they really needed something bad, that was going to... What?
I'm sorry, but you went really...
Yeah, don't, almost like you had an impediment.
You guys done?
Sorry.
They needed something at the 1893 World's Fair that was going to top what Paris had unveiled just 4 years before, and that was the Eiffel Tower. So the Eiffel Tower, as you know, is iconic. The Eiffel Tower today is Paris. You can't think of Paris without the Eiffel Tower. And that's how groundbreaking, revolutionary, eye-catching, whatever you want to call it, that's how it captured the imagination of the world, the Eiffel Tower. And so the Chicago World's Fair comes along 4 years later, and they say, well, we're going to have to do something, anything, to grab people the same way. So, you know, what they were able to do at the Chicago World's Fair in the middle of a terrible recession, in the middle of one of the worst winters they'd ever seen, in the middle of a construction phase that had a fire that burned down one of the pavilions that they'd so painstakingly constructed, and on top of everything else, they had the vision and they had the chutzpah and they had the drive to say, and we want to make our mark the way the Paris exhibition did with the Eiffel Tower.
So what did they, how did they do this?
Well, I mean, I'm going to tell the story in the air tomorrow night, but...
Yeah, you should hold it off till tomorrow.
Oh, really, bud? Well...
You're the guy, open your mouth, man. I can't do that.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. What happened was they sent out a letter to every engineering firm in America. And they said, we want something at our World's Fair that is going to be every bit the equal, if not that will exceed the genius and majesty of the Eiffel Tower. We are calling upon you, America's engineers, to come up with a design, to come up with this creation. And they sent this letter out to just every single solitary engineering firm in America, you know, coast to coast. And it was a young man in a Pittsburgh firm. His last name was Ferris, George Ferris, who saw this letter. And while guys were...
Yeah, what kind of design were people sending in?
Everybody was sending in variations on the Eiffel Tower. So that's what, you know, sort of monkey see, monkey do. That's what people were thinking. Oh, wow, they want to do better than the Eiffel Tower. How about three Eiffel Towers, you know...
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I mean, they had, some guys sent in designs. They had three Eiffel Towers with a cable car running between it. All kinds of crazy stuff. Ferris, being a wholly original thinker, thought about it and came up with this wheel that would spin around, and in the interior of it, obviously, are these little carts. Now, the original Ferris wheel was enormous. The one they had at the World's Fair in Chicago had carts that sat 20 people, you know.
20? It must have been the biggest thing that had ever been seen.
Huh?
Well, man, like King Kong's bigger.
Yeah, but King Kong doesn't exist, I don't think, did it?
No, King Kong didn't exist.
Oh. So, yeah, that would be bigger.
Yeah, but if King Kong existed, it probably would have still been bigger than King Kong. Wow.
Are you Jack Balls telling me you're arguing over the existence of some big ape? That monkey, even if the monkey existed, that monkey was so stupid, it decided to did a Peter Pan off the top of the Empire State Building. That's how dumb that ape was. But I have it on good authority that never happened, right?
No, it never happened. Are you guys crazy or something?
Well, I don't know, Phil. I knew a guy that had been an old-timer in the Air Corps, and he said that he'd flown one of those biplanes against what he said he went up against some ape that had taken up residence on the top floor of the Empire State Building. I come to find out he's talking about a guy that his ex-wife is seeing, and it was a penthouse apartment.
Okay, all right, fine, General.
You don't want to hear the story.
No, I really don't.
So it wasn't King Kong?
No. So, what, did he fly a biplane against this guy?
Well, he did. He flew his plane. He took off from Schwartz Field in New Jersey, and he machine-gunned his wife's penthouse. I don't know.
Wow. I mean,
Man, I'd love to see that. Is there a newspaper store on that?
Oh, I'm sure you can find a contemporary report at any of the newspapers of the day, yes.
Wild. All right, so in any event, so George Ferris sent in his design, and it immediately captured the imagination of the planners and founders of the Chicago World's Fair, and they said, this is brilliant. And George Ferris came to Chicago. He oversaw the construction of this, and it was an immediate hit.
Well, I would think so. 20 people to a car, huh?
20 people to a car. The lines were around the buildings, you know, twice throughout the entire World's Fair, event. There was never a day that they didn't have overflowing crowds for the Ferris wheel. And today, the Ferris wheel, you talk about iconic. I mean, you can't think of a fair, you can't think of a carnival without a Ferris wheel.
But you can't think of Paris without the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, okay, the Eiffel Tower, that's great. How many places do they have Paris?
One.
One place. How many places do they have fairs and carnivals?
One.
What do you mean one?
You talk about fair and carnival, just the one place.
Yeah, don't travel.
I'm not talking about the fair. Yeah, the fair stays put. I'm saying how many, in any given day, how many fairs and carnivals are there in America?
Maybe a couple.
There's more than a couple, jackass. And I'll tell you this much, they all have Ferris wheels.
Don't get so upset, Phil. They're just, these guys, they're mentally challenged.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Henry, you should have more patience with these two, because they're real, these two guys are real abstract, let me tell you.
All right. I'm sorry, bud.
Yeah, it's okay.
Sorry, Robert.
It's all right.
All right. We'll be right back. We have Dr. Jim Sadler. He's going to be talking with us about the latest snafus, or whatever you want to call it, in Obamacare. Now they want to give you your, you can hold on to your insurance for the next year. I don't know, man. It's wild, baby. It's real wild. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And we'll be right back.
The one thing you can.
It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com every night here till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. You can go and get a backstage pass and watch us online as we do the show on our video cast. You can listen to thousands, tens of thousands. I mean, I'm just going to go out on a limb here.
Well, what happened to the 5,000 hour? You're suddenly inflating this.
The other day, Phil, you said it was 5,000 hours.
Yeah, I know, but we looked at the spreadsheet. There's got to be a lot more.
What do you call that?
A spreadsheet. Every time I say the word...
Yeah, every time he says the word spread, you giggle.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, you got to admit it's funny.
What's funny about it?
You know, Phil, I've got a grandson who thinks everything's a double entendre. And when I said to him that his grandmother and I... I asked his grandmother if she'd packed the plums for our hike, because we love to go hiking. And she said, if you reach down into your bag, you'll feel them. And he laughed for a half an hour until I finally figured it out. And I didn't figure it out.
Okay, all right, General.
No, hold on for a minute, because if you have grandchildren, you need to understand that this is going on in your home. And we said, what are you going to do, Grandpa? I said, well, we'll go, and Grandma and I will hike that mountain. She'll climb up on top, and I'll climb up on top, too, and then I'll plant my pole in it, meaning the flag.
Yeah.
And he's going, ha, 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 ha. And I finally figured out what he was talking about, and I gave that young man what for, I'll tell you that.
Well, these kids are encouraged by, and I hate to say this, Phil, but the kids are encouraged by a lot of the radio that they listen to, and the dirty, filthy, crude comedians, not so much you, but the Dane Cooks, and this sort of thing.
Well, look, No. You're not going to hang that on comics and radio guys. So he laughed. You know, I mean, it is kind of funny.
Oh, it's funny, is it? He's talking about his grandmother.
I understand that, General, and I don't mean any disrespect, but the kid is, how old is he?
He's 12 years old, going on 50, and I'll tell you, this is a 12-year-old boy, and I fear for this young man. I see him sitting in an office someplace over a railroad station of some kind, with a dirty, filthy cigar butt in an ashtray, and women parading into the office as he's having them turn around, and then he tears off a slip and gives it to the, I don't know.
What?
What are you talking about, your grandson?
Yes, I see my grandson winding up like that.
Winding up like what?
Auditioning women for a God knows what, with a filthy cigar stogie, yellow teeth, and he's saying, "Go ahead, honey, turn around. Let me see what, let me see what it is, what you got. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, look, you know." And I can't. I don't want it. I won't have it.
General, I can only tell you that it sounds like some a young man is going to laugh. I said, Grandma and I are going to climb a mountain.
Yes, because his grandmother and I love hiking.
And good, I like hiking too. But when you say I'm going to plant my pole in it...
I meant we had a little flag and I was going to put the flag on top of her. Not on her, on her. You know, Dickman, you're very dear to me, but that doesn't mean that I won't put a spear through your head and stick it on my gate.
Sir...
No. Did you hear what I said?
There's no need to talk like that, General.
Yes, there is. I'll put a spear through your head and stick it on my gate. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, where was I?
Never mind. I got a guy that I got to interview. I understand what you're saying. Thank you, okay?
Well, just remember that.
Yeah, but you got to understand. If it's a young kid, and you say, Grandma and I are going to climb a mountain, and I'm going to plant my pole in it, and I'm going to climb up... Yeah, I'm telling you, he's going to laugh.
Well, you know something... Then maybe I should talk to my son, who I know I raised better, and he's got a young man there, my grandson, who has the mind of a... that. Who is the guy that had that filthy magazine, Goldstein? I had a subscription for a while.
Goldstein?
The guy that had that filthy... I forget.
Oh, yeah, I know who he's talking about. He was the man was a publisher.
Goldstein was 1984.
Oh, why don't you take... Why don't you pack it up and take it downstairs, please?
All right, I don't know. I can't answer these questions. We have to get back to our radio show. And with us here from San Diego, California, is our good friend, Dr. Jim Sadler. And I got to tell you, Dr. Sadler, what a rollout Obamacare has had, which has been like no rollout at all. He's got defecting Democrats now. I mean, he has people in the House of Representatives, Democrats, who are saying... Enough is enough. How do you feel about it?
Well, Phil, it's very hard for me as I sit here behind my home and I'm watching the San Diego fire deal with a brush fire that we have here behind our home right now. Understand, I worked very hard to have not only the home that we have, but we've got 4 acres. We have a riding ring.
What is that again?
A riding ring.
You mean for horses?
Yes, for my wife loves to ride. She rides side saddle as well as English. Here comes another one of the planes. This is a...
We've had this on our show before.
What's that?
We've had Steve Bozell.
Yes, that's... Well, the fire season should be over.
Well, not here in San Diego County. We've still got a great many dried out areas, and these areas need to be watered down. They need to be be flushed out and wet. And I have to tell you, Phil, it's going to make you laugh, but the other night we had a poker game over here, and a lot of my friends, I said, you know, I was talking, and I said that the brush back here really needs to be wetted down because we've got a very dry area and we've had these brush fires, and the guys went out there and urinated. And I said, what's that about? And they said, didn't you just say to do that? I said, of course I didn't. But I went ahead and joined them because that's how concerned we were. And there goes another one there.
All right, so you're dealing with a fire, and what we want to ask you about is Obamacare.
No, that's all right.
Okay, and I hope that the fire is under control?
Oh, it's under control, but the point I'm trying to make is Obamacare has put such a fear into my wife. You know, I've got a thriving medical practice. We have a beautiful home with a riding ring. We have a circular driveway, and we have those things which one would think of when one thinks of a circular driveway and the riding ring, you know.
Well, all right, you have a circular driveway and a riding... Does that mean... What does that mean?
It means that I've worked very hard to get what I've got.
Absolutely.
And we don't want to lose it, and I certainly don't want to lose it to a fire, and that's why I'm monitoring the fire, and you'll forgive me if I'm not all that concerned with whether or not someone's got health insurance, because I'm going to need health insurance. I'm going to need a lot of health insurance if this thing burns my home to the ground. There goes another one. And I've got friends of mine who are pulling up at all hours of the day, going out behind my home, and urinating because they're drunk or what have you. And
wait, how did this start?
His friends, he's playing poker.
Yeah.
And
his friends, he said, Dr. Sal, you said you need to wet down the back?
I said I got to wet down the back. These guys went out and urinated. But now, of course, the fire department's here, and they're wetting it down, too. But we have a fire.
So tell me about Obamacare and what is the major malfunction there. How can it get corrected? How is it affecting you?
Well, the way to correct it, I think, is the way to correct it that they've decided to let people hold on to their insurance for the next year. It's a major retreat for Obama, and he's going to have to retreat because he has the Democrats that are fleeing. But I personally am upset because I don't know how this is going to affect me.
All right, hold on. We're with...
Right there. There goes another plane, and they're dropping water.
All right, we're going to be back here with Dr. Jim Sadler as we talk about the rollout of Obamacare that has been anything but, you know, it's been anything but easy, and it's been anything but simple, it's been anything but user-friendly, and now the president finds that even his comrades in the Congress may be fleeing. So we'll be back with more on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, I can't keep it in. I can't keep it in.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. News talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, you know.
Yeah, the truth is our bitch.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah, and when you get an opportunity...
Hold on, General. Truth is our bitch, and we're with you here. We got Dr. Jim Sadler on the phone. General, what?
When you get an opportunity to explain to me what truth is our bitch means...
Yeah, I've explained it already...
Oh, well, excuse me.
General, I'll tell you later on.
So it's some big secret, huh?
I've already explained it to you. I mean, it's a...
It's one of those prison yard terms. Well, that figures.
Why does that figure?
Yeah, why does that figure?
Because you three guys look like you might be passing a soap back and forth in the shower room, if you want my honest opinion. Because it sounds like prison talk, do you understand? And I don't personally, approve of that, but hey... Whatever floats it.
Yeah, okay. So, thank you, General. Dr. Jim Sadler is joining us from San Diego, California, though I think he's gone over to Pacific Beach where they have a roller coaster. And where are you now, Dr. Sadler?
Well, right now it's in transit along with my wife, Melanie, over to... they've got a couple of different coasters that... we wanted to relax here tonight. It's been quite an event at our home, you know, and there's no fire now, but I want to thank very much the San Diego firefighters and the area firefighters. They did a very, very good job for us, and we do appreciate that, but we're coming up in a park now.
Now, we want to talk about Obamacare.
Yes, absolutely, Phil. I do want to talk about Obamacare, and let me tell you that Obamacare right now is in a world of hurt, not because Obamacare doesn't work. I think that it can work, but if you make individuals like myself nervous, I'm a doctor, and I do see quite a few patients, and we do a high volume, as you might imagine. People want good quality health care. We try to provide it for them. But if we see these stops and these starts with the health service, it causes me to lose confidence in the system itself. I think it's going to cause a lot of people to lose confidence in the system itself. And I think it's going to affect the actual care that you get when you walk into a doctor's office.
In what way? I mean, if I could just... let me just say this. You know, if I don't have insurance, obviously I can't afford, or I can, depending upon how much money I've got, insurance. I've heard people say, well, it's going to cost me more. And I said this on the air last night. I'm telling you right now, this is a society This is a country that saw its economy go into a hole and almost never recover because people didn't know how to read a mortgage agreement, because they didn't take the time, because they didn't understand the effects of what it was they were doing. I mean, this is not me making this up. This is real. So it doesn't surprise me that people see this enormous new program and the first reaction they're going to have is, I can't afford it.
Well, there is a lot of that, Phil. There's no question, and they do need to do. I just heard a gentleman say to me, I lost my insurance. I'm a veteran. I lost my... I said, you're a veteran? He said, yeah. I said, you can't lose your insurance. You're the Veterans Administration. And he said, well, I don't want to deal with it. I said, well, wait a minute. No, you can't say that you don't have insurance. You may not want to deal with the Veterans Administration, but isn't it very interesting that people are happy with a substandard insurance plan, but a lot of our veterans don't want to go to the VA, which provides far better medical coverage and far better medical service than a lot of these substandard insurance plans that you're going to have. So I think you need to understand that. It's made me extremely nervous, and it's made me fear. My wife is sitting here. She knows what we've been going through. Losing my practice.
You're not going to lose your practice.
No, but it gets you so tight. It's one of the reasons why we left the house tonight.
All right. Okay, so I want to ask you about leaving the house, because you said you're on your way over to this entertainment complex.
Yeah, we just over Pacific Beach here. They have a big roller coaster, and it's a very strange phenomenon to explain, but I feel the need to get on a roller coaster. I have a great fear of heights. My wife understands this. And roller coasters do not give me any pleasure at all. They cause me great upset. But I've put myself and my wife through a very tenuous situation here as a doctor, that I got to sweat out Obamacare, and I got to sweat whether these people that come into my office have got insurance. And I can see what it's done to my wife. I can see what it's done to my extended family. And, you know, to quote Tim Hutton in the great film Ordinary People, I got to get off the hook. Somebody's got to pay. Somebody, remember when he said someone's got to pay? You remember that film?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you don't have to pretend like I'm a freak.
Well, what are you referring to?
I'm referring to what Tim Hutton said in
Ordinary... I know what Tim Hutton said in Ordinary People. It's a beautiful film. But what are you... What's that got to do with you?
Wants to know what it has to do with me. My wife just... You know...
Well, what's so funny about that?
Yeah, Dr. Sabo, this is Margaret. I'd like to know that, too. What is funny about that?
What's funny about that? I've just put my wife and myself and my family through the upset and the uncertainty of this whole Obamacare, because I supported it. And now we got people that are going to come back in with their lousy plans and their lousy coverage. Am I going to get paid? Probably not. They're going to use me, and I'm very liberal. As I said to you, Phil, I got to get off the hook. And
all right, you got to get off the hook, meaning what?
That's why I'm here. Let's go over here to the... How you doing today? There's not a lot of people here, huh? I'm going to get on this roller coaster here. My wife's laughing.
And why are you getting on a roller coaster?
Hold it, Phil. Hold on. This is General Galen Shaw, sir. This is Dr. Sadler.
Who am I speaking with?
General Galen Shaw, sir. Is this Dr. Sadler?
Yes, it is, General.
All right. I'm given to understand that you have a great fear of roller coasters, and yet you're getting on one. Is this by way of punishing yourself?
Really, at the very core of it, I feel I need to put myself through something that will torture me.
This is a highly bizarre display for a public radio program. Mr. Henry probably, and I say this, Phil, I love and respect Phil, but he's probably not bright enough.
What does that mean, I'm not bright enough?
Well, Phil, the doctor is putting himself through some kind of a sadomasochistic experience to pay some kind of a penalty for signing onto this Obamacare idea.
That's the idea.
Well, they've hit the nail on the head, Phil. And
all right. Well, I
See, I saw that. Margaret saw that. What about you, Bud?
Yeah, it seemed pretty evident to me, too.
Robert?
Yeah, I'm sorry to see this, Henry.
So I'm the idiot, huh?
Well, no, I don't think you're an idiot, Phil. I think you were listening to me. Hold on for a minute. Two, please. I think that... excuse me. I think, Phil, that... there comes a time...
Wait. We're talking about Obamacare here, and we're talking about the viability of it, and we're talking about whether it's going to... I'm not interested in listening to you put yourself through some hellish experience, you know?
Hold on, they're starting up. That's my wife thinks it's funny every time I do this to myself. But I have to do it. Hold on for a minute.
Oh, you're on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to do this. No.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Oh, God. Listen, this is General Jean. You don't have to do this.
Yeah.
This is General Shaw. Dr. Sadler, are you there?
All right, put that guy down.
It's interesting. You gotta listen. It's fascinating. It's an experiment.
I think it is a very interesting social experiment, Phil.
Isn't that nice? I'm not asking you guys. I said to turn it, Bud. If I got to reach over there and I got to run the board on my own show, I'll do it. I have the experience. I can do that. See, you understand?
Yeah.
No. I know how to do that. See, I can run the board on this thing. I can cue the tapes. I can do it all, man. Because I come up, you know, a long time ago, and I had to learn it all. So if you keep screwing around,
I'm not screwing around. But Ms. Gray felt it was necessary to hear that guy go through hell.
Oh, well, did she now?
I didn't say that. I said leave it up so we can listen to how he reacts to this.
Yeah, well, it's him putting himself through an experience that will traumatize him to show his wife that he's doing penance for degrading the value of their life. Well, I'm glad you think that's funny.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more here. Dr. Jim Sadler, I believe, is still on the line with us. Our number is 855-500-7445. That's 855-500-7445. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show on this Friday night from the El Pacifico. World-famous Phil Henry Show. And PhilHenryShow.com. All right, Dr. Jim Sadler with us. He is at some kind of an entertainment or fun zone in the San Diego area as we continue to talk with him about Obamacare. But you have to understand, Dr. Sadler, it's a little bizarre listening to you put yourself through this form of self-punishment, you know?
Well, the self-punishment, and I hope it was explained to you by General Shaw, who seems to understand... General.
Well, yeah, Phil, and I don't mean to... I'm not trying to preempt your program, Phil, and I apologize if I have this evening.
All right.
But I understand what he's talking about. This is a form of aversion therapy, so he won't go through this again. It's something that we studied when I was doing very, very briefly now. I worked with Army Intelligence, and we did study certain forms of aversion therapy. It was important for us to actually go through the experience ourselves.
Oh, so you went through it?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. It was painful. It was humiliating. But you had to do it. They were able, in much like the film 1984, they were able to psychologically profile you to your greatest fear and then put you through that fear to see how well you did.
Do you mind, General, sharing that?
I'd be fascinated.
No, not at all. I will tell you that I don't know if it's for mixed company.
All right, how did I know that this is...
Oh, Phil, would you grow up?
Yeah, that's your problem, Mr. Henry. Everything with you is filth.
Okay.
As I was saying, the Army intelligence people said to me, Shaw, we've taken a look at your psychological profile... And we understand what your greatest fear is. And without going into any detail, I will tell you that I had to walk across a parking lot in a very uncomfortably accommodating something and I didn't have on anything more than a jock strap. Oh, well, listen to you.
Poof. Phil, what are you judging him for?
Well, are you kidding me or something? Wait a minute. What do you imagine happened?
I think I understand, General. I think it's the fear that a lot of guys have.
Well, thank you, so I don't have to articulate it. You walked across a parking lot, accommodating something. Yes, sir. Don't sneer, Mr. Hendry.
Yeah, you gotta understand. It's probably painful, too.
Bingo. Give the man a cigar. Give him the Cupid doll. He just won the $20 Cupid doll. Painful, yes. And I'm in a jockstrap?
Why the jockstrap?
Because that was part of the fear that I have.
So in other words, you had a fear that the Army was able to isolate, and they put you through that.
That is exactly right, Doctor.
Uh-huh. And the fear had to do with you being stripped and something, something that's parked. It's either parked or it's
Well, you could say that it's nowhere where it's supposed to be because it's a vegetable. You know what? I'm leaving because I just saw this one laugh.
Phil, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
What are you...
I'm going to go out and... Are there any more of the graham crackers with cream cheese?
I'll go with you, General. I'm disgusted.
Thank you.
Oh, get a load of that. Boy, the day that Dickman's disgusted.
No, Phil, but seriously, what they're doing is they're isolating...
No, I heard what he said. It was something that he was accommodating, and it wasn't supposed to be where it was. It was a vegetable.
That's right. You don't have to sit there. I got to tell you, I'm listening to your staff there. I'm getting back on this roller coaster. I would rather put myself through the horror of this than listen to you discount what General Shaw is trying to tell you about having to have a veg. See, now I'm getting scared.
So I got one guy telling me about a vegetable that he was accommodating, and I got you on a roller coaster.
Yeah, you got me on a roller coaster.
Oh, God, I don't want to do it, 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 I don't want to die, I don't want to die.
My God, listen to what he's doing for his family.
What is he doing? I don't understand what he's doing. Can you hear
that?
I can't talk to him while he's doing this.
Well, no kidding, Sherlock. Of course you can't.
What's with this Sherlock all of a sudden? Dr. Sadler?
I'm all right, sir. I'm all right. How are you, honey?
Is that your wife?
Yes, that's my wife, Valerie.
All I've heard her do is laugh.
Well, she gets a big kick out of this. This is one of the reasons why I'm doing this, is she gets a real charge out of it. And I have to tell you, I've got mixed feelings. I wonder sometimes if she's not getting a big charge out of watching me get tortured.
I think that is a fair deduction.
Well, what are you suggesting?
Well, I think Phil is right. I think that Melanie, because we've only heard her laugh, is she there?
Yeah, she's right here. They think that you get a big kick out of me being tortured. She laughed again.
I can hear that. I can hear that. She doesn't... forgive me for saying this, Dr. Sadler. She doesn't sound like she's all there.
That's my wife you're talking about, sir.
All right. I apologize.
That's my wife you're talking about, sir. Okay?
Yes, sir. And I apologize. The laugh...
Well, Jim, you understand...
Jim? How about Dr. Sadler? You think I went through...
I'm sorry. Dr. Sadler...
Do you think... What happened to your microphone there?
Hello?
I said Dr. Sadler.
Yeah. Do you think I went through 8, 9, 10? I forget how long it took me to get a medical license, to get a degree. It took me longer than most guys because I wasn't too swift. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you straight, and I'll give it to you as rough as I can, if you want it that way. Hold on. Oh no. No, 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 no. Okay, that's better. But anyway, Phil, what I was saying...
What is this, man? Are you... You know, there's something definitely bent about this experience of you putting yourself through the hell of a roller coaster. Meanwhile, you got a wife who's I'm, you know.
You're starting in with my wife again, and I don't like it. I don't like it.
All right, I understand. Dr. Sadler, I will say that it's been a pleasure having you with us. We do need to move on.
Are you moving on because you're disturbed by me?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You want honesty, don't you?
No. I appreciate that. But you're thoroughly disturbed. Are you disgusted?
Yeah, I'm disgusted.
Well, Dr. Sadler, you've got to give him points.
Who is that? Is that the general?
Yes, sir.
I thought you were off getting cream cheese with Dickman.
You can put that a little more respectfully, sir.
All right. I thought I was only going to deal with you guys one at a time. Because I'll take you, but only one at a time. You understand?
What is this, a fist fight?
No, but that's the way you want to play it. I mean, all I've been hearing here...
All right, thanks a lot, Dr. Sadler. Thank you.
Okay, so I made you angry. That means I've got to torture myself some more. And here I go.
You know, I want these people thoroughly checked. I want them vetted now. I want them vetted psychologically.
So you do feel that they may be nuts?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, how are you going to vet them psychologically?
I don't know, but this is the only show, maybe in the history of radio, that is now going to have to vet all of its guests with a psychological profile, because I'd say about a good 50% of everybody we have on the show is mentally disturbed. Okay?
Wait, you're not talking about me, are you?
No, I'm not talking about you, but the guy we just talked to.
Well, you know, he was on edge, and I don't blame him. It's been this Obamacare has got everyone on edge. Everyone is at each other's throats. The doctors are afraid they can't make any money. He's got a wife that's mocking him, who is emasculating him on a roller coaster. Why? Because of Obamacare.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, let me tell you.
Well, you brought it up, Phil.
Thank you very much. But yes, you did bring it up. And how dare you bring it up and then stick it right back up where that vegetable used to be?
Yeah, that's...
And don't you laugh.
I'm not laughing.
You know, I'm going to have to get into more of a discussion on that whole whatever the hell it was that happened with the vegetable. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, really? You really want the details, huh?
No, this is the Army intelligence working, all right. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We'll be back with more. Thank you, Dr. Sadler, wherever you are. We'll be right back. We do have Vernon Dozier. We're going to talk a little more of the weekend football extravaganza. Steve Bozell, too. Phil Hendry Show, and we're very happy to bring on here Vernon Dozier, head coach of the Belmar Academy varsity football team. And we want to find out how Belmar Academy did this year, or is it Don't Ask?
I think it's Don't Ask. I think they were, you know, a lot of their very talented seniors, and you know the story.
Okay, well, we'll get Vernon Dozier on here in just a moment. A reminder that tomorrow night we are doing our bonus show because we had two nights that we missed during this week. One, of course, Veterans Day, but the other was a sick day. I mean, I walked in here and I couldn't do the show, and...
Did you ever find out what was the matter and anything?
No, I really didn't.
Well, let me ask you, Phil, and it's okay. Did you check with the... did you go to a doctor or anything like that?
No, I didn't. Actually, what happened was I just got a good night's sleep.
Okay, because so much of what's going on these days, we've got to get with the CDC and coordinate information. And I was wondering if you'd done that.
Coordinate what information? I was tired.
Well, the idea... what with the increased amounts of travel between continents? And now, as you know, Phil, there is a far higher concentration of monkey, I guess you call it monkey traffic.
Yeah, there's a lot of more monkeys that are traveling.
Well, they're not traveling, but they're being brought into the country for zoos and for the exhibition of apes wherever they may roam. Not where they roam, but...
What are you guys... are you telling me that apes are bringing disease?
Well, I think it stands to read the monkey carries all kinds of virulent disease.
Right, but we're not talking about a monkey. We're talking about me.
That is exactly correct. I'll handle it, Margaret. Don't worry.
Yep.
No. I'll handle it.
What do you mean you'll handle it?
Just let the general explain.
Yes, let me explain.
Really, Phil.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Phil, don't.
No, hold on. I got all of you guys all... What, did you all team up and say, hey, we got to break the... Jeez.
Look, see, you're not feverish, are you?
Let me feel your forehead.
Don't touch my forehead. What is going on here?
Just General Shaw, explain.
All I'm trying to say to you, Phil, if you'll just let me...
Go ahead, but I don't like the idea of you guys saying, oh, well, you know, General Shaw, explain. Like you guys got together before the show and said we better break the news to Phil about something.
No, they wanted me to be delicate in how I said this. Now, Phil, you know that you and me and Margaret, all of us, we are, in our own ways, a form of primate. We are humans. But as humans, we are related to the primate family. You understand that?
Yes, I understand that.
All right, very good. Now, when I say ape travel or monkey travel, I'm not necessarily talking about monkeys going between here and, let's say, Africa. I'm also talking about humans, and that would include you.
Yes, so when we say there's a higher concentration of monkeys traveling this year...
Yeah.
You mean more humans?
Not necessarily more humans, but there is a higher concentration of monkeys that are going between continents.
Can we just clear something up here for just a moment, if we could?
Yes, what?
When you say there's a higher concentration of monkeys traveling, they're being put in cages.
Oh, yes, absolutely. What did you think we meant? That they've got brochures and they're coming over here to see SeaWorld? Get a load of him, will you?
Yeah, come over here.
Okay, well, then say it, all right? It's higher concentration of monkeys traveling.
Yes, but there are... There is a voluntary component to that, and that is where you come in. Now, I know that you had said to me that you wanted to go on one of those photographic safaris in South Africa.
Yes, I do.
But you haven't been.
No, I have not. When have I had the time to go to South Africa? Are you kidding? I just bought my company a year ago. I've been up to my ass in work. I've been up to my ass not just in radio work, everything else. Are you, you're kidding, right?
Well, no, we thought that with the extra income, you might have indulged your fantasy of going to Africa and doing whatever you wanted to do down there.
Well, okay, but I can assure you that even if I went to Africa on a photographic safari, I'm not going to be around, I'm not going to get a disease.
Well, it depends, and here again, it depends on what you would be doing there.
Yeah, there's all kinds of tourism, and as you probably know, Mr. Henry... And, you know, you've done a lot for me, Phil, so I don't want to say nothing.
Yeah, spit it out.
Well, see, you can go to different countries, and you can go and look at stuff.
I'll do it. You can go and look at stuff, or you can have different experiences, see? Now, some people, they're kind of kooky and kinky. They like what they like, you know?
Yeah, some people's freak, for instance, is to be with, oh, I don't know, two girls. Some people's freak might be to...
What do you mean by freak?
Well,
hold on for just a second. Are you trying to tell me that you're worried I went to Africa so I can know the exotic pleasures of sex with a monkey? Is that what you're saying? Because I've got a lot of...
Well, yeah.
Well, you see, that's why they wanted me to break it to you. Well, no, I'm not. Okay, thank God.
All right, go ahead and call off. Call David.
Wait, hold on for just... How many people... Were you guys letting in on this? Just how stupid are you people?
Well, now, Phil...
Not Phil, General. You know, I'm blaming you. You led the charge on this. You did.
Phil, we're only trying to look out for your own good.
No, you're not looking out for anything. That's about the most cockamamie, goofy thing I've ever heard in my life, not to mention insulting.
Well, I didn't think you'd do anything, but...
We were worried because you had taken a lot of time off over the last year.
That I went to South Africa for the purpose of having sex with a monkey and coming back here and spreading some new virus?
Well, that was the fear. And...
That was the fear? I gotta tell you, you know, not only do we have to have Dr. Sadler looked at the next time he comes on this program, you guys, I want all of you to go in for a nut evaluation. You understand?
What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't...
I mean mental, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, you said nut.
David?
Yeah, look, I you know, they were concerned, and so I'm concerned. Whenever your co-workers are concerned, I'm concerned, okay? When they get it, I get it. All right? And
Yeah, I get it. When they get it, you get it. Well, what they got is a case of mental deficiency, because if they were worried that I went... First of all, did you hear me talking about going to South Africa?
I've heard you from time to time saying you want to go on a photographic safari, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, did you hear me say that I got a ticket and I'm on my way there?
No, but I don't pay that much attention. So first of all, I'm out on sales calls all day.
All right. Here's what I'm not going to have a discussion. I want all of General, Bud, Robert, and Margaret, I want them going in for a psychiatric evaluation.
Wait a second, Phil.
No. I want them going in for a mental evaluation.
Oh, Phil, you know that's expensive.
I don't care. I'll, the doctor, my very good friend over there in Century City.
All right.
Are you trying to tell me you want me to have an EEG?
No, what do we do?
I think you're all due to have your heads examined.
Well, Phil, I can tell you now I've heard it all. To think.
And you, General, of all, you with your Army intelligence training, accommodating a vegetable while you're wearing a jockstrap and...
Well, look, Phil, you're laughing now, okay? Because you've got people there that care about you.
Oh, they don't care about me. These idiots are bringing up... either that or this is some elaborate piece of shtick, you know?
I'm a mother and a wife. Do I look like I kid around with people's health?
No, you don't. That's why I now think there's something wrong with you.
So you think there's something wrong with people that want to make sure that you're healthy? You think there's something wrong with people that want to make sure you have not brought a virus into the country?
No, I think that there's something wrong with people that think I brought a virus into the country by way of going to Africa to have sex with monkeys, because that's the kind of sex tourism I do. You know?
Well, what's that?
You know, sex tourism, that's where you...
Oh, yeah. I know what that is. I mean, we've done that.
You have you?
Yeah, but not with apes. Okay?
Well, neither have I.
All right, well, just chalk that one up to...
We overreacted.
No, you overreacted.
Yes, we overreacted, and I think you're overreacting now. You said you wanted to go to South Africa, take pictures of animals, and I remember saying to Margaret, yeah, that's a likely story.
It sounded a little far out to me, too.
Why is that a far-out thing to say?
Because most people want to go down there. These days, you hear guys are going down there, they're shooting elephants, the whole deal.
I don't do that, okay?
Well, you're not, what are you, some animal rights guy?
I don't hunt. I don't kill animals. I don't do that.
Well, Phil, do you feel you're better than those of us who might?
Yeah, I do. Do you? Because if you do, I don't want you on my show.
Well, as it turns out, no, I don't, but I don't like the tone of your voice.
You know what, General, just talking, Phil has got an attitude. Since he took over this show and the company, he thinks he's just it and a bag of chips. So,
I don't want to work with anybody on the staff of this radio show that goes out and kills animals such as the ones you find in Africa. These are magnificent creatures. They are, a lot of them are endangered. And I just don't, you know, forget it. If you're going out and trophy hunting, you go pound it someplace else, pal.
So you're telling me to pound it, huh?
Yes.
Well, General, I have to agree there.
Yeah, you know, I have no little... Do you go ape hunting?
No, I don't go ape hunting. I haven't been hunting in years.
Good. That's good.
Well, what about if a guy goes quail hunting, something like that?
I don't know about that, but this whole thing of going to Africa and killing elephants, man, it's weird. I'm really tired, man. You know, I'm...
Yeah, you look it. I'm looking at the Phil TV. You look like you're ready to just fall apart. You gotta go. You need a vacation, even if it's having sex with apes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, he might have overstated.
Yeah, you think so. The next time you guys have got an announcement like that to make, you run that by me before.
Yeah, but...
No, you run that by... You understand that, General?
Well, of course, Phil. It's your program.
Great. So I don't have to sit here and listen to you guys saying, hey, General, you take care of it because, you know, we don't want to upset Phil. And I don't know what's going on.
Well, Phil, don't be such a control freak.
When it comes to you guys going on the air and asking, hey, Phil, did you go down to Africa and have sex with a monkey as part of some tourism package? Because we really need to know.
Well, so now you're laughing at it.
Yes, I am. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier, I hope, is going to be coming up here, and we'll be talking football, all manner of things, including Rob Ford. Vernon Dozier talking with us about the mayor of Toronto. World famous Phil Hendry Show. And welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know. I'm as cynical as they come, I guess. I do a radio show, and I'm a part of a generation that's you know, a cynical generation. I'm part of a generation that's a spoiled generation. I'm a part of the baby boomers. No generation of Americans probably had it as good as we did. No generation of Americans probably looked a gift horse in the mouth as unabashedly as we did. No generation of Americans has a higher opinion of itself. No generation of Americans lets everyone know just how marvelous they're. You know, there's a whole lot to not like about baby boomers. But, you know, every now and again, you know, I meet a member of my generation, and we all kind of come from the same orientation, which is, boy, we ought to really just kind of shut up and open our eyes and open our ears a little bit more and look at the world with a less of a critical eye. But this little boy in San Francisco, this bat kid, I was all ready to be cynical and to say, oh, give it a rest, will you? And, you know...
Oh, this little boy is darling.
Yeah, this is a little kid. His name is Miles Scott, 5 years of age with leukemia. He always wanted to be Bat Kid. And get a load of this. Today, thousands of volunteers, TV crews, even President Obama teamed up with the San Francisco Make-A-Wish Foundation to make this little guy's dream come true. There was a Batman that he was helping out. I've got the picture here, and if you want to go online, you can see the story. And Bat Kid was a hashtag on Twitter all day. And here's a bigger picture of he's a handsome guy, and there he is.
The kid's gonna be Bat Kid?
He was Bat Kid. And what I mean by that.
Yeah, what's that?
Bud, watch it, okay? I don't want any smart ass comments.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, they had all kinds of little projects for him to do, and he ran with Batman. See, there's him and Batman running down the street. He's five, man. He's five. You know, what does it take to make a five-year-old kid happy? Just, you know, a little bit of fantasy and role-playing and stuff. And Batman is telling him what they're going to do, helping a damsel in distress. And here he is running off to do another job. And there's President Obama. For 5 seconds out of our day, 5 minutes, whatever it was, and look at that. Everybody's smiling. Here's the cop, San Francisco cop. He's got a big grin on his face. And there's the Bat Kid's big wish, rescue on a cable car. He stops the Riddler from robbing a bank. He leaves the hotel in the Batmobile. He rescues Lucille from the Penguin. S-E-A-L, get it?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, and... gets a key to the city.
Now, let me ask you a question that I don't... What did the police do? Did they assist in this?
Yeah, they assisted in it. I mean, in other words, the police, they cordoned off streets, you know.
They cordoned off streets so they could sit on their ass and watch this kid save a bank from being robbed?
No, it's a five-year-old. He's pretending.
Oh!
Yes, General, he's not really stopping a bank robbery.
Well, all right, that's good. You know, because I was ready to get up out of this chair and walk over to that telephone and call Bill Perneal, who's a very dear friend of mine, and he's an inspector with the San Francisco Police, and I was about ready to rip him a new ass about letting a five-year-old kid...
All right, well, that didn't happen, okay?
Well, let me just finish. I was about ready to rip him a new ass about letting a five-year-old kid stop a bank robbery... while the San Francisco PD sat on its can, sucking on Ghirardelli...
That didn't happen. You got a problem with the San Francisco police?
Let me put it to you this way. I don't like cops, okay?
That's very, very prejudicial and bigoted of you, okay?
Well, cops aren't black people.
No, but they're a profession. To put any profession... It's not racist. I didn't say it was racist. But to just take any profession in general and say, I just don't like them, I think it's especially cops who we need. That'd be like me saying the same thing about soldiers.
Who could ever say that about a soldier? You take that back.
No, I won't take it back because I just got done saying, man. This generation that I come from, they used to say that everybody coming back from Vietnam was a baby killer. That was wrong. It was very wrong. But that was the way that they generalized soldiers back then.
Yeah, you know, I had a guy come up to me and say, hey, man, and I loved it because I knew this was going to be fun. And I'd just gotten off the transport. I was in Seattle. He says, hey, man, and hey, man, So I picked this guy up upside down. I was holding him by his ankles. And I hung him out over the Orange Street Bridge in Seattle. And the drop was probably a good 50 to 60 feet to the bay, to Puget Sound. And I just hung him upside down.
You hit the microphone.
Well, excuse the hell out of me.
All right, so you held this guy upside down.
Yeah, and I said, hey man, and he's screaming and crying and oh God, it was great. And then suddenly you heard him, you could hear it and see it. He crapped himself, and that's when I just let go. No, I didn't let go. Yes, I did. I let go, and he dropped into the bay.
You let go of the guy 50 feet up.
He crapped in his pants. What did you want me to do?
Yeah, I got it. Probably is the best thing to do.
You're going to kill a guy.
No. What happened was, I didn't kill him. He saw what happened, so he went into a swan dive formation, you see.
Oh, so as he was falling, he realized...
Yes, he realized he was going to Puget Sound, so he immediately went into a swan... I saw the toes point and the... And I said to him when he got out of the water, I said, that was great form. And he said, hey, man, why don't you take it and stick it? And he said all kinds of dirty things to me. But I complimented his form. Oh, well, what are you... You know, Phil, this guy was going to call me a baby killer.
What did he call you?
He didn't say... I didn't give him a chance. He said, hey, man, I grabbed him by the ankles.
Well, we heard the whole ankle thing.
Yeah, you better not...
No, I didn't say ankles in the sense you're thinking, Dickman, with that sewer you call a mind. No.
All right. I have a hard time believing... You're telling me this guy, you dropped him.
Phil, I'm telling you, he soiled himself. I had no choice.
Well, it would be the instinct.
Yeah, okay. He soiled himself because you're hanging him upside down. Now you let go of him. He realizes he's dropping 50 feet toward the Puget Sound.
Yes, and that's when he immediately... The body conformed and contorted into a beautiful swan dive form. And he went, and I'll tell you, I didn't see any splash. And it's a shame, it's a crying shame, that they didn't have a judge or a camera, I don't know.
But you say he didn't see splash, what does that mean?
Don't you understand, you imbecile? If you don't see a splash, that's a...
Yeah, that's probably going to be a 10 like an Olympic dive.
Oh.
Well, isn't that wonderful, a 10 on an Olympic dive, huh?
Phil, don't be jealous.
I'm not jealous. I think some of your instincts, General, are violent, are aberrant, are antisocial. Dropping a guy from a bridge 60 feet into Puget Sound, and he goes into a swan dive formation.
And I didn't see splash. You heard that one.
Right, okay.
That could be taken as sexual.
I understand.
It could be taken as sexual.
Well,
you said don't see splash.
You know what? I know what they're thinking, and they're picking that up from a conversation that I had with them earlier in the what? Early in the evening. Never mind.
Okay. That's great, man. I'm so glad everybody's cluing me in here tonight. We'll be back with Vernon Dozier next hour. Football talk and Rob Ford talk and a whole bunch of other talk. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com. Don't you want to read? Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And the weekend is upon us, another hour, and we're going to be, stretching and relaxing. We do have our show tomorrow night, our Phil TV show, which is our bonus show. That will be on Phil TV only. We will not have a game of the week on Sunday, I've been told. And the reason is a little on the weird side. Steve Bozell's wife?
Yeah, his wife said that he's not allowed to.
What do you mean his wife said he's not allowed to?
Well, can I just jump in? Hold on, General, because his wife wants him staying close to home this weekend.
Yeah.
Well, that's about as...
Yeah, I wanted to just bring... You know what PW is, don't you?
All right, General, I don't want to make any assumption. I don't want to say anything. There will be no... this was being done anyway. The game of the week was being done on a volunteer basis. We're not giving any money to Bud or to Steve.
Well, what about Ted Bell?
Ted doesn't want to do it. It destroyed his throat, and he had his asthma, and he almost choked to death. And he was dragged outside and thrown on the pavement by Bozell. And now Bozell is
well, he's not sick. This is far more of a disgrace, if you want my honest opinion, when he is told by his wife that he's not allowed to do the game. And I think it's disgraceful.
What is disgraceful about a woman wanting her husband home for the weekend?
There's nothing disgraceful per se, but to call up your individuals that rely on you and say, my mommy won't let me...
Yeah, it's pretty much what it is.
I don't believe he said that.
Well, you know full well. Did you take the call, Hendry, or...
First of all, General, the name is Phil.
I apologize. Did you take the call, Phil?
Yeah, because I call you General. I don't call you Shaw.
Well, that's true. However, I've fought for this country, and I deserve all the respect I can possibly get from anyone at any given time. If you don't want to give me respect, cut me a check. You don't want to cut me a check, you can bow or curtsy. But someone, somewhere, is going to give me respect. That's all I have to say. That is all.
General, more graham cracker?
Yes, and more cream cheese, please.
That is all, huh?
You heard me, as you were.
All right,
Phil, you know, you're a little bit on edge tonight, and I just think you ought to take things as they come.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, General Shaw, he deserves all the respect he gets.
I'm giving him respect, okay?
I thought I told you to let it slide, Hendry, and to continue.
Yes, sir.
Now, where are these graham crackers, and where is that cream cheese? If I've got to wait 5 more seconds, someone is going to feel it. Someone is going to be in a world of pain. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Someone will be a hurtin' gator if I don't see that cream cheese and on a plate in front of me in 5 minutes.
All right, General. I mean, I'm doing a show over here. Do you mind?
Sorry, but...
Okay, so with all of that ahead of us, we do have on the line Vernon Dozier. We're going to talk to him in a moment. There are some stories in the news that we do want to get to. Just a couple things that you'll find fascinating. I know we have Vernon. We've got plenty of time for him.
Well, he's, you know...
Yeah, I know he's in a hurry. Everybody's in a hurry tonight, man. You know, I got my thing I want to do, okay?
Well, Phil, it isn't all about you.
Yeah, you know, there's other people.
I didn't say it was all about me. I just would like to read some news.
Well, okay.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, you want to get to it? You're going through that news like you're looking for a pair of underwear.
Well, I'm... The news story that I've got, here it is. Alec Baldwin, did you hear about this? Alec Baldwin, and I was looking at it yesterday, and I was going to do it on the air, but I forgot.
Do what?
Read the story.
Well, Phil, we just heard about a man soiling himself, so we don't...
Yeah, you're right. I should be clear. No, I was going to say, Robert, I wanted to soil myself on the air tonight, but hey, I decided not to because General Shaw already made a guy do that. So instead, I'm going to read a story about Alec Baldwin.
All right, now I understand.
Good, you were very clear.
Thank you. Just because Alec Baldwin isn't on TV 24/7, it doesn't mean someone isn't always watching. And that from that from TV Scoop. I saw the video as Mr. Baldwin was being stalked by a photographer for TMZ. The photographer was attempting to take pictures, according to Alec Baldwin, of his wife and daughter. Now, Alec Baldwin, I think, I'm going to give a little opinion here. I think he reacted normally. I don't think there was anything abnormal about the reaction. I think that if there's a photographer that's shoving a camera up your rear end or trying to get a picture of your kids or your wife, you're going to get angry. So he took off after one of these photographers. The guy ran away. Then he took off after another cameraman who had the camera right on Baldwin, and this guy backed up. And as Baldwin turned, he called the guy a sea-sucking F-word. According to GLAAD, which is the Gay Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, Mr. Baldwin used a sling of a slew.
Well, it was a sling. He slung a slew. I'm not trying to be funny, but...
Yeah, he slung a slew.
What do you mean?
Never mind. He said a slew of anti-gay epithets The organization's president called him out for his, quote, anti-gay slurs, referring also to tweeted remarks Baldwin made back in June when he got angry at a reporter who wrote up what turned out to be an erroneous story about his wife. I would like to address the comments I made this past week. Now, Alec Baldwin, for his part, apologized. He said, I'd like to address these comments. He began in a statement posted on MSNBC.com. I did not intend to hurt or offend anyone with my choice of words, but clearly I have, and for that I'm deeply sorry. Words are important. I understand that and will choose mine with great care going forward. What I said and did this week as I was trying to protect my family was offensive and unacceptable. Behavior like this undermines hard-fought rights that I vigorously support. I understand Up Late will be taken off the schedule for tonight and next week, which it was. I got to tell you that the gay slur is an unacceptable fact of many men's lives. Using it when you're angry is a way of insulting another man. If you want to insult another straight man, it pretty much is a sure bet that you can call him something having to do with homosexuality. You can use one of these words, and you will anger and upset and offend him. And it's a very unfortunate... I'm not forgiving it, okay? I'm not forgiving it. I'm saying it's an unfortunate reality that a lot of us... And I include myself in this, by the way.
So you have used those words.
Well, Phil, I think you might want to reconsider.
No, just take it easy, man. This isn't any big scoop, okay? Then, you know, there's no big scoop here.
Yeah, but what if TMZ calls out, want to know if you call the guy the F-word?
TMZ ain't going to be calling you, okay? And if they do, I'll talk to them. And if they want to know, have I ever used the word, the answer is yes. Am I proud of it? No. Why did you use it, Phil? Because I was talking to another straight guy, and I wanted to piss him off. Okay, and that's how you piss off a straight guy. It's not to overtly slam the orientation of gay people. It's to make another guy angry. And I got to tell you...
Would it make you angry if you were called that?
Well, but now, understand something. No, it wouldn't. And the reason is, you use it specifically against some guys because you think maybe they have fears or doubts in that direction. Like maybe they think they're, you know, maybe they're in the closet or something. You don't know. You know, but...
So it doesn't offend you if someone were to say, hey, Henry, you big F?
I mean, if I was feeling pretty angry at the moment, if I was upset, if I felt like I was being attacked unfairly and it was ongoing and it was wearing me down, probably. There's no question. But it is a way for some men to communicate, and it's childish. It's if you call a guy that, you're pretty much asking for a fight, and I suppose that's been the case for a great many who have used those words. But it's not really anti-gay. I'll back up on that. In my view, it isn't, but I accept the view of the gay community. If it is offensive, no matter what the context, then it is. And it's something we got to train ourselves not to use. I got to tell you, I'm very sensitive to this stuff, and I will change my habits, and I have. And we've changed the words that we allow on this show. You know? But I don't think you need to take this guy off the air for 2 weeks.
What? Are you kidding me, man? That guy said a dirty word.
Yeah, I think you have to, Mr. Henry.
Well, you know, let me just lend my... You have to make a more proactive... See, it's not about whether they think Alec Baldwin did something wrong. It's about whether the gay community will accept what punishment has been meted out. You have to appear that you're addressing the problem proactively, directly, and with a firmness of hand, as well as a softness of... the other hand. So one hand is firm and the other is soft.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, don't pretend like you don't know what I'm talking
about. Thank you very much, General. All right, so coming up, it's...
Well, I notice how now you don't want to talk about it.
No, I don't, because I think we're all done talking about it. But Alec Baldwin taken off the air for 2 weeks on MSNBC. And if you don't like Alec Baldwin, I like the guy I think he's a funny guy. I like him as an actor. His political point of view sucks. I can't stand it, and that's just where that's at. But it doesn't mean I don't admire the cat as an artist, and I do think he's a funny cat. I think a lot of the stuff he does, you know, those Capital One spots.
You said you didn't like it when they teamed him up with Steve Martin.
I thought it was a great idea. In fact, I think those two guys together are funny, but it didn't look like Steve Martin liked it. I think Steve Martin would have preferred to have worked by himself, and I don't know why I feel that way, but I just do. All right, we'll be back. We've got more news, and then we have Vernon Dozier. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. No game of the week on Sunday. Apologize. However, we have our bonus show tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. On the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, Phil TV. Hey, welcome back to Phil Henry Show here. Vernon Dozier is going to join us here. It's a Friday evening. You know, we haven't had Ted Bell. What is up with Ted Bell?
I know he's very busy. I know they've put in another oven. This will be... They keep replacing ovens over there. He's very sensitive to that.
Well, this guy Bell, you know, he owes me a steak dinner. I went in there and they didn't have a table. And I said, I'm General Galen Shaw. And he began to turn away. He said, yeah. He said, that's nice. He said, and I'm Captain Crunch. These were his words, not mine. His words, not mine.
He said what?
Oh, I don't believe that.
That's exactly what he said. You could ask my wife, Elise. I went in. Was this the Ted of Beverly Hills, right? They want to put the meat in the mouth, isn't that what they say?
Yes.
All right. I went in and I said, I'm General Galen Shaw. He looked me up and down with his eyes lingering on my midsection.
You mean?
Exactly. And I said, I'm General, and he said, that's nice, I'm Captain Crunch. And he turned away, and I said, is your name Bell? And he turned back with this look that I've often seen on these smart-ass junior officers. And he said, yes, who are you? I said, I'm General Galen Shaw from the Henry Show. And all of a sudden, he was falling all over himself, apologizing profusely. He said, General, I'm sorry, we're busy tonight, I didn't know. And he sat, Elise and I, at a table that could have been far better, let me tell you. We had our back to the kitchen, and I could smell that. If there's one thing I won't stand for, one thing I will not live with, is the smell of urinal cakes while I'm having a spinach dip. I'm sure you understand.
Yeah, I do understand. I don't like that smell. Where did they... So they put you near the...
Near the what?
Did they put you near the restroom?
No, we were nowhere near the restroom.
Well, where were you?
We were at a table in the middle of the dining room.
Well, why are you smelling urinal cakes?
Because I'd just gone to the bathroom. Are you listening to me?
General, it sounded to us...
No. I had just been in the bath, and I didn't like the smell of it in there.
Okay, I mean, if you're going to go into the bathroom, I guess you're going to smell urinal cakes, but you're in the middle of the... What did it smell like in the dining room?
Like steak.
Okay, well, that's... So what was wrong with the experience?
I didn't like the way he looked at me and called me Captain Crunch.
No, he called himself Captain Crunch. He said, who are you?
Well, he didn't call me Captain Crunch, you're right, but he said, and I'm Captain Crunch. And I took that as an insult, saying, well, I might as well be a cartoon character too. And I said to him, are you saying that I'm some sort of fantasy in the mind of a kid who's probably got a tube going out of his arm to a bottle hanging from something that looks like a coat rack? I'm sorry. Henry, you know, there is an afterlife. There is an afterlife. I've seen it in my dreams and in my fantasies. And I know that afterlife holds great things for me. For you, brother, get ready. Hold on to yourself. Make sure you got an extra specially tight belt.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to you laughing at God's judgment.
Oh, get out of here, will you, General? Go have yourself another. What is he having, graham crackers?
Yeah, you want another cream cheese?
No, I don't want any more cream cheese. Because that stuff, it sticks to my mouth, and I don't want to go home with a white wad on my...
Phil, would you grow up?
What is it with the grow up? You heard him. Where is he?
He went out. I think he's going out of the bathroom.
Yeah, he's going to go to the bathroom and get more Nilla wafer.
More Nilla wafers. All right. We have on the line here Vernon Dozier, and I know Vernon's a very big fan of General Shaw's because, Vernon, you, like myself, support the military. How are you doing tonight?
Phil, I'm doing good, and General Shaw is, once again, he's laying down the law, man, and I love that about the man. I truly do.
But I wanted to ask you, and maybe it's a touchy question, how'd the team do this year, the Belmar Academy varsity?
Well, I know you were talking about it. We didn't do too good, and it was exactly as Margaret said. We lost a lot of our good seniors last year. Joey Shaw went off to Tennessee. We lost a very, very good little running back, Marvin Bryant. He's off at his father's alma mater in North Carolina State. But I'm very proud that we've produced the good ball players that we have over the years at Belmar Academy. But, no, we did not have a good year this year, and that happens. I can tell you that next year we will have a good year, and I say that with great confidence, and I say that to the parents. I say that to prospective players, any of the young men who are coming in from middle schools, around the Los Angeles area. I guarantee you this, Belmar Academy is very well known, and we will have a good football team next year. I don't care what I got to do to make that happen. I don't care. Just, you know, just don't press me too much on that, because I...
Well, it's an emotional topic.
You got that right. It's emotional. I took it, and I listened to it, and I took it, and I listened to it all year long. Hey, coach, what's wrong? Hey, coach, this, that. The parents, who are always unforgiving, and because I had one bad year, and this is the first year that we did not make the playoffs in six, and I'd say probably our average every 6 years we don't make the playoffs. Otherwise, we are always in the top bracket of our league. But this year, because you got so many of these parents who don't know a thing about football, they barely know anything about, you know, zipping up their own flies. And I don't want to say any more about that. But
You've often had a contentious relationship with parents. You've had good ones too, but you've had contentious. And I will tell you this, General.
I take that as a compliment.
Who are you calling, General? Vernon Dozier's on the phone.
Hey, General Shaw, it's Vernon Dozier.
Vernon, how are you, Coach? It's great to talk. You know, we've had a weird night tonight, but it's great to talk with you.
It's always an honor to talk with you, sir.
All right, but I wanted to say to you, Vernon, I support you, as you know, in your belief that the coach is the final arbiter of what happens. The parents may certainly give their opinion, but it ends with you.
Yeah, well, the parents, their opinions are welcome to a point. As I said to you, I'm not going to sit and listen to a nonstop litany of these people lining up in my office and telling me how it's going to be, because I'll tell you right now, nobody tells me how I coach my football team. You don't want your kid on my team? Great. Take your kid and have yourself, go on off and play a little Pop Warner. You can play catch over there under a tree or something. It doesn't matter to me. But my football team is my football team. Now, to answer your question, did we have a good year? No, we did not. Are we going to have a good year next year? You better believe it. If I have to, and forgive the dramatics, but if I've got to die, I mean, if I have to collapse dead on the sidelines next year, we will have a winning team. I don't care if I'm laying there and they're stepping over me because everyone's excited over the fact that we're having a chance. I would rather that happen, Phil. That's how devoted I am to this football team, and that's how devoted I am to the school.
That you would rather what?
Is that Margaret?
Yes, Coach. This is Margaret Gray.
What I said was, I would rather collapse and die on the sidelines and not be noticed because everyone's celebrating a victory that gives us the league championship, and they're stepping over me to the point where I decay.
Yeah.
Oh, so you don't get that.
Well,
that's the kind of competitor that I am.
Okay, hold on, Coach. We'll get back with you. There is Coach Vernon Dozier. He's a competitive guy. There's no question about it. And obviously, he wants that ball club of his to rebound next year. We'll get into talking with him about Rob Ford and Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell cannot make our game of the week on Sunday. We'll see what the coach thinks about that. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Just an interesting note. and I don't know how interesting you find. I think it's fascinating, and I found the picture. I got no problem posting it.
Oh, God, the one on the homepage?
I saw that. Did you see it, General?
Yeah, I did see that picture. You're massive. You look like a blimp. I don't know what, it must have taken guts that, I got to tell you, I hand it to you, Phil, with the guts it took to put that picture of your blimp self on your homepage, I would trust you with the lives of every man in my battalion. As we storm the gates...
All right, that's fine, General. Thank you very much.
Well, I do.
Let me get Vernon Dozier on the line here as long as we're, you know, disparaging... Well, I'm not disparaging. I don't know, Coach. I have on my homepage a picture of myself with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Did you see it?
No, I did not see that. Let me... I'm in front of the computer right now.
This was a picture that was taken of me with the former NBA great, still an NBA great, when I was on a TV show called New Girl, and he was a guest star on the show.
Oh, yeah, look at that, the size of you. You look like a fat slob, don't you?
Yeah, that's the truth.
And look at, and I'll tell you what doesn't do you any favors. Now, Kareem looks good. And what are you guys talking about there?
Well, we were in a large, this was very interesting, it was a studio where we were shooting this scene, but Kareem, in the contract that he signs whenever he does a TV show, you can't give him a regular dressing room. He's too big, you know. The dressing rooms they give you are generally these mobile dressing rooms that are in trailers. He gets, as well he should, he had a whole huge room, you know, and in the room had to be certain foods, and it just... And I don't blame the guy. You know, he's big and he wants to have his privacy. I had asked him. I remember I made a point that I wasn't going to ask him about basketball because he probably gets sick of it. But I had heard that he'd written a book about the 761st, which was a tank battalion of African American tankers. Now, Kareem's father had been in an artillery company in World War II. So I asked him about it. And he very much warmed to the subject. It was probably something that he hadn't had a chance to talk about too much. But we sat down and we talked about the exploits of this group of black tankers in World War II.
Did he make any comment on your big fat ass? Excuse me for using that language, Phil.
No, he did not. No, he did not. He probably thought, hey, look at this fat guy. Probably, you know.
Man, you are big there. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, as long as Phil pointed this out to me.
The bag of chips?
Yeah, there's right up there in the front is a bag of those Kettle sea salt chips. And, man, if that makes it almost look like, Phil had his hand in this bag of chips, but for the photograph, you have your fingers locked together and you're very paying attention to it. Like, you be truthful. When Kareem was talking, you couldn't have cared less. You were shoveling those chips, right?
No, I was actually listening to him. What's with the uh-huh?
Because the bag's sitting open, and now all of a sudden there you are listening to him all attentive. How does a fat man ignore? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Phil, this is just basic forensics, all right?
Will you get out of here with forensics? What do you guys think, you're cops?
There's certain rules of evidence. If you're a fat, if you got a fat boy, now Phil, just hear me out, okay?
No, I'm not going to let you guys use this as an occasion to start bagging on me, all right?
Phil, you don't look that way anymore. You look way better. Allow them to comment. We haven't seen a picture of you when you were so big. Good God.
You must have been 350 pounds there.
No, I never got more than 306. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, give the man a banana, you know. How do you like that? Give the man a banana?
Now, give the monkey a banana. Ow!
All right, look, Dickman, I'll handle it, okay? I'll handle my punchlines. Jeez, this guy. But anyway, Phil, was it an interesting afternoon?
Yeah, I enjoyed talking to him. He's a great guy. And I know that when I put that picture on the homepage, I was going to take all kinds of grief for it. I'm glad I have that picture. I've never seen myself look so bad, you know, and the hair. I mean, so, you know, I was just... like not even caring, you know, what I looked like back in those days.
Well, what was going on with your life?
I don't know. I mean, I was unhappy. I was in the, you know...
Was it when you were up with this company that you was with in Oregon? Is that it?
Well, yeah, a lot of it had to do with that. I had another year left in my deal with them. I didn't even own 100% of my company. I was sharing ownership with somebody else, and it was just... And but that... That was 1 month before I started my diet. So I probably took a look at myself on that show. And I did. I saw pictures of myself from that show, and I went, you know what? This is not good, man.
And that's when you decided you were going to, you know, maybe leave the potato chips alone, and maybe you just might get yourself a glass of water and maybe, you know, some bananas or something like that.
Yeah, the bananas, that's good.
You really you think bananas is funny, huh?
Well, he's got the whole monkey thing going on.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. So,
but the thing that, and I'm glad, because when you've got a, again, Phil, this is rules of evidence. If you have a fat man and there's a bag of chips, there's not a chance on God's earth that that man's big chubby mitt wasn't in that bag, grabbing for all the gusto. And then as soon as someone said, oh, can we get a picture, the hand comes out. And you want to know how I know? Because your right hand, which is the closest one to that bag, I see there's a little bit of a sheen from the oil, okay?
You know what, Vernon?
No, whoa, brother. Are you looking at the mark? You see it?
Yeah, Phil, if you look at the picture, you can see a little bit of the glistening.
Right, I see the glistening. Now, you think that's chip oil, huh?
I think it's potato oil, yeah.
All right.
And I think that that's what's, and that's the giveaway. So, if you want to do anything with that picture, I would try to do some kind of a Photoshop or airbrush it so that the glow of the lard oil isn't all over your hand.
I'm looking at that picture and my right hand is not glowing with lard oil. Okay? I mean, I just don't see it.
Well, all right. You're looking through the eyes of love, as they say.
That's true, Phil. Looking through the eyes of love. Looking through the eye, that means you love yourself.
Or at least you love your hand. And I'm only half kidding, because at that point in your life, you couldn't have possibly... Did you have... Well, it's none of my business.
Yeah, that's right. It is none of your business. None of your business. And if you want to know, and I don't know whether this is a comment that's good or bad, even at that size, yeah, I had girlfriends.
You got to be kidding.
No, I'm not. But that doesn't do any good. If you feel like you look like hell, and I did, it doesn't matter, man. You could. It just, to me, I didn't feel good, and I know I didn't look good. So, all right, Coach, we have a couple of things we wanted to talk to you about, and one of them is this Rob Ford in Toronto. Have you been following this?
I have, Phil, and I knew you wanted to talk to me about this guy. Rob Ford, the former mayor of, I say former because they are about ready to strip him of his powers, disgraced the city of Toronto with his behavior. He disgraced the office of the mayor of that city with his behavior. People love to bag on politicians, but I will tell you, the stories of mayors or governors or senators or presidents or anybody that you care to choose openly smoking a narcotic or a drug that is illegal, fortunately, this is not a common occurrence. So when you do find out about a man who runs a city, is the chief executive of a city, and he is, for all the world, wantonly and brazenly sucking on that glass you-know-what. Starts with a D, ends with a K.
Okay, I got it.
All right, well, you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
All right, if he's openly and wantonly just lip-locking that glass pipe, and there's pictures of it, and they've got videotape of it, and now... What I've seen in the paper today made me want to throw my guts up. He was sitting there, it looked like at a city council meeting, and it looked like he had some brown napkins that he grabbed off a counter at Starbucks, and he's crying into the napkins like he's going to need to get up and say, excuse me, sir, could I take a couple of minutes to go and call my mommy? Because that's what it looked like.
Well, Vernon, I think you're very cruel when you start to talk this way.
No, Margaret. No, I'm not being cruel, no. This is the chief executive of a major North American city, the biggest city in Canada, and it is a cosmopolitan city, and there's a lot of traffic in and out of Toronto. All kinds of people go to Toronto, artists, business people, bankers, lawyers, you name it. And here's a guy with his little blonde haircut and his big fat ass. This guy's bigger than you were in that picture with Kareem, and he's got the Starbucks napkins up to his face, and he's going, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And the next thing you know, you're going to hear someone say, Roddy, it's
Mommy!
And you can come on home now. You see what I'm saying?
You know, this is why I like you, Coach. You put it in black and white terms. I love it.
Yeah, well, you know, it sounds a little mocking.
Oh, well, isn't that too... I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to mock you, Mr. Mayor. Now, you just go right ahead and you blast up another rock. And when you're done, and they tell you that you don't get to have all the powers that you had as a mayor, you make sure you get on the phone and call your mama. Because that's what you're going to want to do. And you were going to ask me about this guy, Bozell, is that right?
Well, we've got a couple of minutes here, and...
Well, hold on. This guy, Bozell, are you telling me straight that his
mommy
says that he can't go and do the... How about that? Do you love that, General? Excuse me, I can't do the football game this weekend because my
mama
is not going to let me go out and do it? That's the biggest load, man. That's a bigger load than what you were carrying in that picture with Kareem. Now, I'm going to tell you something.
All right, we'll get back with the coach. We have the general here.
Well, you cut off Coach Dozier. I'm not sure that that's the proper protocol.
Well, it was the proper protocol for me. We'll be back. We'll have Coach Dozier back here with us in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Talking about Steve Bozell. Talking about Rob Ford, the coach, reading the riot act on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just a couple of more minutes with Vernon Dozier, and then we're off and running into the weekend. And again, Phil TV tomorrow night at 6 for our bonus show. Coach, do you ever join us for our little tequila fests?
Yeah, you know, every now and again I like to watch it because I do teach history and teach social sciences. I'm not sure I would have my students because you're sitting there bellying up with a bottle of tequila, you know, and... I've often wondered how it is you do that. You don't go out and when you finish drinking that, don't you just collapse or something?
Well, I think that's what you do, don't you?
No, I don't just collapse. Although I'll tell you, if I drink enough tequila, yeah, I'll go to sleep or something. I mean, nobody can drink a lot of tequila and be able to do anything more than just sit, laugh, and talk. And that, you know, you're not going to get in a car or dance. You know,
you play the music loud, don't you? Do something like that.
Yeah, I play music loud.
All right, so you drink that tequila, and then do you get out there with your friends and go, you know what I'm saying, bud? You probably seen it.
Yeah, a lot of times he'll be out there going, woo! You know, don't you, Mr. Hendry?
No, I don't do that. No, I don't. I don't go out there and go, woo! What does that mean?
Well, I've seen a lot of these people that like to slobber that stuff down. Now, I'm not putting it down, but I'm not a big drinker. You know, I like to think I'm a controlled man. I do have a great deal of discipline, and as you well know, I heard you mocking yesterday General Shaw, who joined the Army because he wanted to know what it was like to have a tank drive over his arm. Is that true, sir?
That is exactly correct, Coach. Thank you. And Mr. Hendry was, and I'm not, you know, Phil, I respect you, but you were mocking the experience.
You were talking about a movie, okay?
Well, hold on, Phil. No, wait. Don't tell him. He's been... If he... Because let me tell you something, and I've told you this, and I know there's people that know this. I grew up with a mother that kissed me on the lips every day before I went to school. Okay, enough said about that. That can do an awful lot to shrivel up a man's self-esteem and really shrink down and shrivel right on up the awareness that he has of his own ability to even just stand up while going to the bathroom. That happened to me. Now, I decided that I would do everything I could to toughen myself up, and I've told you those experiences.
Yeah, some of them are pretty weird.
Get a load of this guy, will you?
You know, Phil, you should stop judging people.
Get a load of this guy, will you? A lot of them are pretty weird. I just did. Isn't that what you just said?
Yeah, I think that it's weird to walk into a bar in a predominantly African-American part of town, as you said you did, and then say using racial insults, do any of you have a light, and then get your ass beat, as well you should have, and laugh through the experience.
And I told them, I said, go ahead, have at it, have your fun, because you won't see me cry. I'll laugh through the whole thing.
So you took your beating like a man.
That's exactly right, General.
Well, I have to... Yay! Bud?
Yay!
You have to applaud that, Phil, don't you?
No, I don't have to applaud that. No, I don't. I can call out a guy with a butterfly net.
A butterfly net. You understand what you're calling me now? A butterfly net.
Yeah, I know exactly what I'm saying. It's a weird, weird thing. Now, the other thing that you do...
I'll tell the General what I do. You don't need to tell him. I'll tell him. I have my wife back over my hand. You know, my wife, we just got that big excursion SUV.
Yeah, how do you like that?
I love it. I don't care how much it costs in gasoline. It doesn't matter to me at all. I love it. I like how big it is. I like how heavy it is. And I like the fact that when she backs that over my hand every Monday morning, it hurts, and I don't say a word.
Are you kidding me? Coach, you don't talk about it or nothing?
No, I don't. No, I don't, bud. And one of these days, maybe I'll teach you how to do that.
No, you will not. You're not going to drive a car over to this kid's hand.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, bud. You check with Mr. Hendry and make sure that your mommy doesn't want you to get hurt, you know?
You can mock all you want,
Just call me General again. You know, I think that my force of personality...
You know, I want to say something here. I'm a mother, and if I caught you backing a car over my son's hand, I can assure you that you wouldn't be walking in a normal way. You would be going across a crosswalk, and people would be crossing themselves and saying, "Look at that poor man."
What?
You know, I think that started out as a pretty good insult, and then you got lost along the way, didn't you?
You know what I'm saying.
Not really. I mean... Are you saying, in other words, you'd injure me to the point where I'd get the pity of other people? I mean, what, would you turn me into the feathered hen from Freaks? Is that what you're trying to say to me? Go ahead. Say it.
I think you know what I mean.
So you'd turn me into a freak. You'd turn me into that guy that sang soprano there from Freaks, right? Remember that weightlifter that...
Okay, we get it. No, she's not saying that. She's saying that that's a very extreme way of proving your machismo. I think it's very weird. You want my honest opinion? I mean...
I didn't ask for your honest opinion.
Okay, here's my dishonest opinion. It's fantastic. In fact, I think you ought to have your wife drive right over your stomach next time.
Yeah. I bet you'd like that. I bet you'd like that. And then you'd see a picture of me all squished up on the newspaper, and you'd say, there he is. There's that nut. I knew that nut would wind up doing something like that.
Well, I want to say something. I think that I admire both of you. There's no question about it. But I think that Coach Dozier has much to contribute... If you'd only let him, Phil.
I don't think the coach doesn't have anything to contribute. I just don't think driving a car over his hand.
All right, well, let's get back to what... Weren't we going to talk about Bozell?
Yeah, we got a couple... I want to... Tell me what you think of this. Now, Steve Bozell...
I got it all planned out. I heard. Bozell was supposed to do this game in a week, right?
Yeah. Why don't you do it, Coach?
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
Well, now, hold on, Coach. Is it because your wife won't let you come out?
No. What do you mean, come out? You mean out of the closet?
No, he's talking about...
I'm talking about come out of the house to do the game.
No, it's because I got... My weekends are precious to me. Thank you very much. And the last thing I'm going to do is throw it away on doing some free game for Henry. Now, this guy who gave his commitment, though, that's a whole different story. Bell, and I know this Bell guy, and the other guy is this Bozell. The two of them gave their commitment, and then all of a sudden, I think it was Bell... He got the sniffles, if you're ready for this, or whatever his problem was, and he had to stay home so his mama can get him a orange juice cup or whatever the hell.
You know, you get really angry when you talk about this stuff.
You better believe I do. Makes me sick. And then this other guy, Bozell, his
mama
won't let him be the play-by-play guy. Is that what I heard?
She doesn't want him to leave the house, yeah.
Oh, okay. So he's got to check with his mama.
You know, Coach, we need more men like you. There's no question about it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, General. It makes me sick.
All right, well, I'll let you go, and you can contemplate the weakness of America. There's something wrong with that guy.
Well, what do you mean there's something? That man's the only man that's made any sense tonight.
Well, listen to the anger in that man.
That guy has got a screw loose, and he always has. He always has. For as long as I've known him, he's had a screw loose. He gets all pissed off about this, that, something else. That mother of his, whatever she did.
Well, and let's not forget Herb Sewell. He's all jacked up because of his mother, too.
What'd she do?
I don't even know what she did. I don't even know what she did. All right, you guys, that's wrapping it, man. That's wrapping it, and that's rock and roll. And we will see you on the morrow, 6 o'clock Pacific time, for our Phil TV in HD bonus show. So get ready, get you Don Julio, and let's do the do. And Margaret, Bud, and General.
Thank you very much, Phil. This has been a wonderful week. I've enjoyed it vastly.
All right, you have your vanilla wafers, and we'll see you guys later. And don't forget, a BSP, a backstage pass, is what ultimately you must have.